The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Elemental Balance, Soul and Spirit Guidance, with your host, Phyllis Valois. Phyllis is here to help you become whole, using all of the gifts that she has acquired over the years with divine guidance, compassion, and understanding in a non-judgmental way. We hope the next hour will empower you to find out more about your gifts of intuition as well. Now, here is Phyllis Valois.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's show. I would just like to remind people that if you wish to reach me at any time during the show, I can be reached at 1-866-472-5795. I would love to speak with you. And I can also be reached by email. It's Phyllis, P-H-Y-L-L-I-S, at elemental-balance.ca. It would be wonderful to speak with you today. So just to get on with the show, I am back in my home city of Calgary after having been away for almost a week. I had the privilege of doing my show last week from Vancouver, British Columbia, one of the most beautiful cities in Canada. It is has everything that you could possibly want. It has water, it has trees, and it has mountains. So some people go skiing in the winter, come down, golf, and then go yachting or sailing all on the same day. So it's a really magical place, and it's a city that has definitely a little place in my heart. I feel like a totally different person when I'm there. All the elements that I need to nourish my soul are found in Vancouver, and I hope to one day move there, as I mentioned in my last show. There's been quite a few things that have happened in the last week. From Vancouver, we went to Jasper, and Jasper is a national park in Alberta in the Rocky Mountains. And we were at a beautiful place called the Jasper Park Lodge. It's a Fairmont property. It is very rustic and beautiful. It's set in nature. You can golf. There's the most beautiful lake that is olive green blue in color. And what I really like about it, it's pristine. Nobody can swim in it. There are no motorized boats in it. Yes, you can explore the lake, but by canoe or by paddle boat only. Definitely no motorized vehicles. And in the morning, I could hear the loons. And to hear loons is really a blessing because they are very not secretive animals, not secretive birds, but they're very, how can I describe that? They don't like to be around people too much, and their cry is so hauntingly beautiful. The reason I was in Jasper is my beautiful niece got married on Saturday in Jasper, and it was such a beautiful and magical day. Melanie and her groom lost three sets of grandparents and four, including my grandparents. And I felt their presence so much that day. It was such an emotional day for me. I could have cried the whole day, but tears of joy. It was so beautiful. And I could feel the presence in the wind, the ripples on the water of her grandparents and Corey, her partner's grandparents. It was so beautiful. It just made her day extra special because Melanie is gifted as I am, as is my sister. So she had could very well as my sister and I feel their presence. It was just the most magical and beautiful day. I also felt the presence of the elementals all around because it's a setting in nature. And I could feel the fairies and the gnomes and all that whole elemental realm surrounding us as well and supporting this beautiful marriage. We couldn't have asked for a more beautiful day. It was hot and sunny, no rain, nothing to mar the beauty of that day. So I was very grateful to be able to participate in that, and it was incredibly special. Today, I want to continue our discussion on death and dying, but I want to focus more on children. And this is kind of a topic that's pretty dear to me because I experienced death and dying when I was a child. I was 5 when my paternal grandfather, my father's dad, passed away. And I knew he was sick, but I didn't know anything about, you know, sickness and illness at that time. He's the first one that I remember. I'm sure there were others that had passed before, but that's the first conscious memory that I have of someone passing, being ill and passing. And I remember being so upset because I was excluded from the funeral and from seeing my grandfather after he had passed, or even seeing him before he passed. None of, at that time, children couldn't go to the hospital. We're talking a few years ago, just so you know. It's not just in recent years, it's a long time ago. And at that time, children were not really allowed in the hospitals to visit guests. So I wouldn't, or not guests, but patients. So I know that I would, probably would have not been able to have seen him in the hospital. But I found that I never really understood what had happened to him. My parents were Catholic and my grandfather had gone to heaven. But what is heaven? Where is that? I knew he had a place in the cemetery. Is that heaven? Was that heaven? I had no idea. And I never really got to say that official goodbye to him. And I just realized recently that that is what had happened. I never got to say an official goodbye to him. And it really affected me for years. I was very angry with my grandmother because she's the one that said, oh no, I was too young. I couldn't, you know, I was too young to be there and I wouldn't understand and it would be too hard and what have you. But I was very upset with her because I knew on some level what had happened, and they were just trying to protect me, I guess, in their own way. And what happened is I buried those feelings, the feelings of grief. I wasn't allowed to grieve for my grandfather. And like I said, to say goodbye. So it really marred me for a long time. And like I said, it's just recently in the last probably 3 months that it came to me that I had not properly grieved or said goodbye to my grandfather. And, you know, that's about 48 years ago. So it's a long time, and it's important to include children, even though we think it's not in their best interest that they you know, that they participate in all of this. I just had this morning a message from my father, who is deceased, that in those days they didn't really know how to tell children or know what to do with children when someone passed. They didn't know what to say, and that they did the best that they could, and I realize that. You know, I don't blame my parents for that, even though I had all those angry feelings for a long time. I don't blame my parents because, you know, I'm a product of that time. It wasn't done as it is today. So he knows that I forgive him, and I have absolutely no hurtful feelings toward him and my mother for not being able to explain it better than they did. They probably didn't know any better or didn't know what to say. So that was a wonderful message from my father. I feel today many spirits around me, and it makes me kind of emotional, and I'm trying not to give in to those emotions. It's just such a beautiful feeling of unconditional love when my deceased loved ones are around me, and it can get quite emotional. If you've ever experienced unconditional love, it is the most mind-blowingly beautiful feeling that anyone can feel. And if you've never experienced it, I wish it for you. It changes your life. No problem is unconquerable if you have feelings of unconditional love. You can conquer the world. So I just wanted to share that with you. So one of the things that I remember is that even though you don't explain to your children that someone is ill and dying or somebody has died, they know on some level. They know what's going on. So I think it's important to talk to your children about this. It's an important topic. But remember to talk to them in a language that they'll understand. Don't go into long topics about the illness. Explain it to them, but watch the language that you use when you tell them, because it can create problems, behavior problems, and fears for children if you use language that may be scary, like, oh, grandpa's gone to sleep. Well, maybe they'll be afraid to go to sleep at night because they may think that they won't wake up either, like grandpa. So just be careful in the language and use age-appropriate language. I feel that it's totally inappropriate to protect children from this topic. There's death everywhere, in the cycles in nature. In the spring, when the leaves come out, then we go into summer and they're beautiful and bright green. And then in the fall, all of a sudden, it starts getting colder and the leaves turn yellow or brown or red. And then eventually they fall and we go into winter. So death is everywhere around them. They may see a dead bird or a dead mouse or what have you. In fact, by talking about it and stopping this need to protect children, it'll make the process so much easier for them if they understand that this is a cycle. Life is about a cycle. One of the most important things is they watch you and they model you. They imitate what you do. So please don't be afraid to show your emotions in front of them. I had very stoic parents. They never really let us see their emotions. Although in the kind of latter part of their life, we saw more and more of it. But when I was a young child, I never saw my father cry or I never saw my mother cry. They protected us. They didn't want us to know that they have feelings. But that's kind of showed me that I needed to stuff my feelings as well. And it's not a healthy way to live. You need to express your emotions. And it's something I struggle with even today. It's also better to explain the process of death and dying to children before it happens, so they have some concept of what's going on. So it's not so scary for them. Again, use the cycles of nature as an analogy. For every spring, summer follows, and then autumn, and eventually winter. And use the cycle of the leaves on the trees as an example. Another good teaching tool is the loss of a pet. If you have a pet that has to be put down or dies, it's a great teaching tool for funerals and rituals. Use it as an opportunity to teach your child. Allow them to grieve for this lost pet and teach them how that death is part of life and how it have a little funeral for it. If they choose to bury their little pet or their pet, find the appropriate place and go through a little funeral, a little celebration of life for this pet. It is a wonderful tool for teaching children about death and dying. But remember to give them the opportunity to grieve. That's important. They need to know how to do it. Now, another thing is don't be afraid to explain what an illness is and that there are major illnesses and there are minor illnesses and what the difference is between. And that often if it's a major illness, for example, cancer, that can often lead to death. There is always hope for recovery, but not in all the cases. Be open and honest, even though it may be difficult for you to do so. Don't give them too much information. Watch their reactions and wait for questions. Just give them the basic knowledge, and if they have questions, well then answer, but don't give them more than they can handle. Reassure them that even if someone passes on, life will go on, that even though they lose a loved one, they will go back to school, their routine will become the same, that type of thing. It is important to reassure them that there will be some stability in their life. One of the most important things that you can do and the most beautiful gifts that you can give your child is to tell them when you know that you have a serious illness. Explain the logistics of who will care for them once you pass, where they will be living, all those things, those questions they will have, is very important to discuss with them. They need to know. It would be very scary to lose a parent as a young child. I know that I was 12 when my father had a major heart attack, and it came very close for us to lose him. So I know that it's important to talk to your children. It was scary to know that there was a possibility that I would be just my mom and I and my sister. It was scary. Were we going to live in the same house? What was going to happen to his business? You know, so be honest and explain that to them. A lot of people prepare letters for different stages in their children's lives. For example, their graduation day or their the day they're getting married, that type of thing. And other people write letters. Other people prepare videos for their children. And a video, it would be a wonderful way for you to give messages to your children once you've passed on. I know that would be really heartwarming and touching for them and would make them feel very much better. In some of the research that I have done, it has been mentioned that we never, ever truly get over the loss of a loved one. And some ways that you can help with mourning is be empathic, and that will make them feel more secure and trusting if they know that you understand them. Be sensitive and warm. Be patient and loving. Accept that they are grieving. Trust. They need to know that they can trust you with their secrets. This is how you can help them, that they can trust you to tell you how they're feeling. Spontaneity. Sometimes you have to do something to get out of that cycle of grieving, like going to the park or going to see a movie or something like that to break that cycle of intense grieving. Your child is still a child. They need to have a little bit of fun, even though they're grieving. Humor. It will help lift them out of grief. Flexibility. Use your intuition as to how to proceed with each different child. Not every child grieves the same way. So use your imagination and your intuition to help them. And don't be afraid to change your techniques if things are not working. Don't forget to involve the children in the process of funerals or celebrations of life. This allows them and encourages both adults and children to comfort each other. Openly mourn and honor the life of the person who has died. One note to that is they should never be forced to attend a funeral or celebration of life if they do not want to. Allow them to cry. It's a natural cleansing. We all feel better when we cry in most situations. The response to the death will vary depending on who has died, and they will be more affected if it's someone they are close to. Now, we will be taking a short break. When we get back, we will continue with this topic of children and death and dying. This is Phyllis Valois. Be right back.
The Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network. Have you discovered your true self yet? When we clearly understand how we create our reality, we can develop empathy and love for our humanity and that of others. Listen to Explorations in Consciousness with Dr. Joe. Your host, Dr. Joe Mancini, has spent years helping individuals get unstuck and find direction in their lives. Find out more by tuning into our expert guests and participants on Explorations in Consciousness, Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
We all want peace. We all desire a more meaningful life. We work hard to achieve these things, but at what avail? The key is authentic living with Andrea Matthews. Andrea will interview some of the great spiritual experts of today and will provide wisdom to help you raise your consciousness to the level of your own I Am. Your authenticity can give you miraculous gifts, but you have to know how to get there. Listen for Authentic Living with Andrea Matthews. Heard live every Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network.
Be visionary. Be extraordinary. Be the change. This is the Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
You are listening to Elemental Balance, Soul and Spirit Guidance with Phyllis Valois. To reach our program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Or you may send an email to phyllis@elemental-balance.ca. Now, back to the program.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to today's show. And we are talking about children on the topic of death and dying. And I forgot to mention at the top of the beginning of the presentation that the resources that I have used to prepare this part of the show are my personal experiences, as I've talked to you about. I've had a lot of personal experiences as a child and an adult with death and dying. The book, The Needs of the Dying, which is an amazing resource for anybody who has someone who is in the last phase of their life. It really is an important book, and it is written with such love and very easy to read. And it really helped my sister and I when our mother was in the last phase of her life. So it helped prepare us to, and tell us what to expect in those last moments. That's The Needs of the Dying by David Kessler. And the other book that I used for some of the information is Companioning the Grieving Child, which is another book that is written from a love base. And I really liked it. And it's by Alan D. Wolfelt, PhD. It's about helping children as a counselor or counseling children. But I really enjoyed it and got a lot of really good information from that book. If you ever have a child that is grieving, that is another one of the resources that I would recommend. So now we will get back to what we were discussing before. And remember, if you'd like to call in, it's 1-866-472-5795. phyllis@elemental-balance.ca. And if you'd like to check out my website, it's www.elemental-balance.ca. Now, another thing that you may notice with children when they are grieving is that they often feel guilty. They feel like they caused the death of this person by their actions. You know, maybe they were... say one of their parents was killed in an accident and they had a big fight in the morning or they were misbehaving, well, they'll probably have guilty actions. It's called survivor's guilt. And we often feel that one of my experiences with death was the loss of a brother-in-law who committed suicide. And I know what survivor's guilt is because I experienced it with him. And I'm like, I knew his emotional state, but not being close to where he was, I felt powerless to do anything about it. And when he actually did commit suicide, I felt so guilty. It was terrible because I should have been able to do something. So the what ifs hit me. What if I had lived in Calgary? What if I had done this? What if I had done that? You know, but what I did is I wrote a letter to him and told him that I loved him and that this was his karma. This was his choice. And that's how I released that guilt. I could not have changed what he had chosen for himself. I may have helped prolong his life, but I think ultimately that was what he had decided that he would do, that he would end his life in that way. And you have to watch children because, especially if they've got a lot of guilt, they may want to join the deceased loved one. They may feel that guilty that they don't think that their life can go on. So please keep an eye on them and make sure that that isn't happening to your children. There's the whole process of death and dying has different importance or different connotations depending on your culture or your religious beliefs as well. The things that I'm telling you are just general. They're not in any way or any means pertaining to a particular religion. These are just things that I thought were important to share with you pertaining to children. Now, please honor your culture and honor your religion and your rituals when it comes to death and dying. But just know that children should not be avoided and left to deal with this on their own. Now, here are some steps to help them. Please acknowledge that someone has died. Provide structure to support and assist them through the initial period of mourning. Be ready to comfort them and cuddle them and reassure them. Get back to their routine as quickly as you can so that they will see that life goes on and their routine will become the same, albeit a little bit different. Give them time to honor and remember the person who has passed. Affirm the life of the person as well. Share memories, that type of thing. Search for meaning within the concept of each person's religious or philosophical views. Like I was mentioning before, every religion or culture has a different ritual or different ways of dealing with death and dying. So try, based on your culture or your religion, to find the meaning of death and explain it in terms that your children will understand. Now, children may have certain physical symptoms that will tell you how severe that their grieving may be, and I would suggest that you watch out for some of these. Here is a short list of them. Tiredness, lack of energy, lack of appetite, a tightness of throat. They may feel like they're choking all the time. Shortness of breath. They may have stomach aches, headaches, loss of muscular strength, rashes, and you may see some regression. And if it's a young child, let's say, for example, a four-year-old, maybe they'll go back and start acting like a two-year-old, start sucking their thumb or wetting the bed, that type of thing. They may begin acting out. You may have a child who is very complacent and very docile and a very wonderful child who all of a sudden starts having huge temper tantrums. They may withdraw. They may not want to talk. They may not want to participate in the activities they were doing before. They may also try to assume the role of the loved one who has passed. For example, if it's the mother of the family who has passed, the little girl children may try to assume her role, try to take over the cooking and the house cleaning and the taking care of the kids, that type of thing. They may develop anxiety, especially separation anxiety, especially in the case of a loss of a parent. They may become so attached to the parent that is still here that any time that parent tries to leave to go to work or whatever, they will have huge anxiety. Now, I've written down a list of ways that we can help children, like therapy ways that we can help children. Play therapy. Use puppets. When you use a puppet, it's not you, right? As a teacher, I used to use puppets in my class all the time. And even though it was me talking, it wasn't me. It was the puppet talking. So this is a wonderful way to get your children to open up about what their feelings are or what's going on. Use puppets or any other type of play therapy. Art therapy, have them draw their feelings. What are they feeling? You can have a lot of insight into what is going on with them by having them draw or paint or anything else that's artistic. Use clay. Have them model. Play with clay. A collage of feelings. Have them search through magazines or any type of catalogs with people and to find the feelings and make a collage of what they're feeling in that present moment. Music therapy. There is nothing like music to soothe the soul. Any type of music. But I would probably not recommend hip-hop or anything like that, but I would recommend like classical music is very soothing for children. Word therapy. Word therapy is have them write out a journal, write in a journal, or write a letter to the person who has passed. Or including, if the child is too young to write, have them draw in a journal. And spend time in nature. There is nothing like being in nature to soothe a soul. You forget. You just absorb the feelings of the trees. And the trees and the ground, the earth, are wonderful for absorbing all those unknown feelings that you may be feeling. That isn't exactly what I was wanting to say, but that's how it came out. And here are four ways that to help children mourn productively. Help them understand and make sense out of what has happened or is happening. Tell them the truth. Help them grieve or express their emotional responses to the present or anticipated loss. They need validation for their feelings. Teach them that life goes on, but that it's okay to take time off to grieve. But in a few days, they have to go back to their daily life, including going back to school. Help them commemorate the loss, whether formally or informally. Light a candle together. Share memories. Or say a prayer. Do something to honor and remember the life of the person who has passed. Another good thing that you can do for your children is to show them how to care for someone who is dying. Let them participate in that. They may learn compassion and unconditional love so that when it is their turn to be a caregiver for someone who is passing, they will know what to do and how to be with this person, because it's scary. If they see you taking care of your mother with love and doing whatever it is that you need to do to be sure that your mother, as I used as an example, is well cared for and loved, they too will do the same thing when it is their turn. And please don't forget your children when death and dying becomes a part of your life. They need to be a part of the process and to really understand that death and dying are an inevitable cycle of life. We are all living to die. It can be beautiful and special. It's all in how we tackle the topic. It doesn't have to be morbid and depressing. And know that you're helping your child when you overcome your fears and anxiety pertaining to death. They will develop a healthy understanding of the process. And I urge everyone to not forget the children. As a child who was forgotten, when this whole process happened to me, I am begging you not to do it to your children. Especially today, there is so much information out there to help us with this topic. So, that is our presentation on death and dying for children. We are now going to be moving on to the archangel that I have chosen to work with this week. And it's Archangel Gabriel. And the name or the purpose of Archangel Gabriel is the strength of God. And the resources I've used are Archangels 101 by Doreen Virtue, The Angel Bible by Hazel Raven, Archangels and Ascendant Masters by Doreen Virtue, www.angelsweek.com. And just so that you know, Doreen Virtue has a new book out called The Miracles of Archangel Gabriel. And they are, I just purchased this book, and I'm looking very forward to reading it. It's all about people who've experienced Archangel Gabriel. Now, there is a lot of controversy about Gabriel. Is Gabriel female or male? So it has in some of the resources that I've read, Gabriel is female. And in others, Gabriel is male but has very female traits. So it's very hard to distinguish which one. To me, Gabriel is a male. That's how I feel. That's how I feel Gabriel as a male, his presence as a male. So that is my personal feelings. Like I said, there is some research that says it's controversial about that. He's also known as the angel of death, and he accompanies souls on their journey to the other side, and he works with the other archangels, Michael, Azrael, and many others to help at the time of passing and before. He's the orange ray, which is obviously the color orange. His focus is creativity, and he's the orange ray actually is also used for dissolving fear. His chakra is the sacral chakra. The element is water, meaning balance, experience as vitality, creativity, and originality. Now, some essential oils that can be used to have angelic dreams and for guidance while you sleep are basil, cinnamon, clary sage, dill seed, lemon verbena, melissa, mimosa, neroli, raven sarah, and spearmint. And there are specific oils specifically to invoke Archangel Gabriel, and that's jasmine and camphor. The planet that he's associated with is the moon. The zodiac sign he works with is Cancer, and it's the properties are being sensitive and sympathetic. Out of the four seasons, his season is autumn. His direction is west. His element is water. His halo color is copper. And if you see flashes of copper light around you, that's a sign of his presence. He's known as the messenger, the angel of annunciation, resurrection, mercy, and revelation. He announced to Mary and Elizabeth their impending births, the impending births of their sons, John the Baptist and Jesus. He's also one of the four primary archangels. He's seen both with a trumpet and a copper-colored horn to awaken our inner angel and bring good news. He's also associated with white lilies, wolves, owls, pear trees, and weeping willows. He works with Mother Mary to minister to sensitive children. There are many biblical references to Gabriel as Michael in various religious tomes. And before we get into a couple of his major roles, we will be taking a short break. After the break, we will be continuing to talk about Archangel Gabriel and hopefully Ascendant Master Isis and the Crystal Amethyst. We will be back after a short break.
This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Are you in tune with yourself? Listen every week for Ecstaticism, Embracing the Journey to Awakening, featuring host Sherry Lynn. When we understand that we are not alone in this world and have infinite love available to us at all times, we can be ecstatic and call upon the assistance we need to reconcile and release our past, fear, and addictions. Listen to Ecstaticism, Embracing the Journey to Awakening, live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. Joy, bliss, and ecstaticism is our God gift to experience. Be joy, be peace, be love. On the program Inside Out, our outsides match our insides. Join host Beth Green along with co-host James Maynard for an insightful weekly journey that lets us all be real with no boundaries. We'll discuss current events, interview amazing guests, challenge old ideas, and see ourselves and our world more clearly. It's about you as much as us. So you're invited to call in, write in, and most of all, tune in. Listen for Inside Out, live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
The Voice America 7th Wave Channel. Seek greater awareness.
You are listening to Elemental Balance, Soul and Spirit Guidance with Phyllis Valois. To reach our program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Or you may send an email to phyllis@elemental-balance.ca. Now, back to the program.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the show. We were discussing Archangel Gabriel just before the break. And I just mentioned that he, she, depending on the information that you read, there is some controversy about the gender of Archangel Gabriel. And as I mentioned, I see Gabriel as a male. So two of the major roles that Gabriel has is that, number one, he guides hopeful parents towards child conception or adoption, gives strength and courage to face the process, and helps anyone whose life purpose is art or communication, acts as a coach, inspiring artists and communicators, overcome fear and procrastination. Could it be that Archangel Gabriel is guiding me to do this show? He is also known as a powerful and strong archangel. He will work with you the minute that you ask for his help, even if you aren't aware that it's happening, as I wasn't when this beautiful opportunity was given to me. He's the patron saint of communication workers. Works with earthly messengers such as teachers, counselors, writers, artists, artists, and actors. He works with the media, a conduit for delivery of loving message. And he'll help you communicate through TV, newspapers, magazines, books, radio, or internet. Some of the physical associations with Archangel Gabriel. He governs adrenal function, aids digestion, ameliorates or helps bronchitis and asthma. He's very useful during menopause to help balance your hormones. He aids in fertility. He balances body energy levels, helps with grief, eases bereavement and loss, enhances creativity, optimism, and to have a positive view of life, helps ease fears and phobias. And here's another short little list of things that Archangel Gabriel can help with. Adopting a child, any artists or art-related projects, child conception, journalism and writing, TV and radio work. I have worked with Archangel Gabriel many times in my life. As you know, I used to be a teacher. I also sing and am a musician. And now, as you know, I have this beautiful program on voiceamerica.com, Seventh Wave. So I believe that he is guiding me and helping me prepare the best shows and episodes for you that I can. So thank you very much, Archangel Gabriel. I do consider you as part of one of my team in helping guide me through my life and towards achieving my life purpose. Now we'll be moving on to our Ascendant Master, Isis. And the resources that I use for the information are Archangels and Ascendant Masters by Doreen Virtue, www.alphaimaging.co.nz, and www.ascensionhealing.co.nz. The color that is associated with Ascendant Master Isis is red, purple, and gold. Her affirmation is, I am balance. Her twin flame is Osiris. She's the goddess of the sixth ray, aligned with the state of devotion and works with Devi, with the Devi of devotion. She's a multidimensional Egyptian moon goddess. Egyptian scholars, praise her as the original high priestess of magic. There is a temple of Isis in Egypt. If you were to visit, you would find the temple of Isis. She's said to have resurrected Osiris, her brother and husband, after he had been mutilated and killed. They had a son, Osiris, and Isis had a son named Horus. She is said to have used a magic rod for healings and manifestation and rattles to remove negative energies and lower spirits. She's associated with funeral rites. She's seen as the giver of life, healer, and protector of kings. She also helps escort the deceased to the other side. She has the energy of the Divine Mother, loving and nurturing that all Divine Mothers have. She's a goddess of wisdom and magic. She's here to work with crystalline bodies to help us cope as we ascend physically, emotionally, and mentally. And as we know, we are in a period of great shift. We are all ascending. So she is here to help us with that process. She also works with Saint Germain and Master Seraphis Bey, Ascendant Master Seraphis Bey. She clears disharmony so that we have harmony from conflict. And Osiris and Isis are seen as an ascension couple. And the properties and how she helps us is through divine magic, feminine power, strength, and beauty, joy, and self-esteem. And that is Ascendant Master Isis. The crystal that I have chosen for this week is amethyst. The resources are the Crystal Bible by Judy Hall, the Angel Bible by Hazel Raven, www.amethyst-meaning.com, www.gemstone.org, www.mindat.org, www.crystalvaults.com. So amethyst is a variety of quartz. The angel that's associated with it is Archangel Zadkiel. The color, it has various shades of purple, lilac, or mauve. If heated, it becomes yellow-orange, yellow-brown, or darkish-brownish. Forms that you can buy amethyst are polished, rough, clusters, different shapes and sizes, and is often used in jewelry. And it was a highly prized gemstone by princes and kings. It can be found in Brazil, Uruguay, and Madagascar primarily, but there are deposits around the world, and I know there is a deposit in Ontario in Canada. It has a hardness of 7. It has iron constituents, which leads to natural radioactive radiation. It's a red-violet ray, which means time and color, beginning and the end. It's related to the goddess Artemis, who is the goddess of hunt, of the hunt and childbirth, and also with Diana, who is a Roman goddess of the moon and the protector of animals. The zodiac sign associated with amethyst is Pisces, but also to some degree Aquarius, and the energy is fire. Amethyst has a high vibration. It's a high vibration crystal. It's known as a master healer. It helps in healing on all levels. Here are some examples of how amethyst can help. It's soothing. It eases stress and emotional exhaustion. It eases addictions and addictive traits. It neutralizes pain, eases headaches and migraines. If you place it on the third eye of the crown chakra, the third eye, which is the and the crown chakra to balance them. Let me rephrase that. Place it on your third eye and or the crown chakra, and that will help balance them. Place it under your pillow or by your bed to prevent nightmares or insomnia. This is the real funniest, the funny fact about amethyst, and I find it quite humorous, that it was used in past centuries on chalices to ward off drunkenness. So it has been said to help ward off drunkenness, and there are many, many references to its use in centuries past. So that's a really funny fact about it. Amethyst. I had never heard that before, so I thought I'd share that with you. It can stimulate or soothe your mind or emotions. It offers protection for travelers. It's powerful, a powerful psychic stone of protection. It purifies the aura of negative energy or attachments. It's a stone of comfort for those who are grieving. It's healing for plants and animals as well. So if you have a plant that's not doing so good, place a little piece of amethyst in beside it or in its pot and see what happens. Or if your animal is having some health issues, try and find a way to use it for that. It helps identify root causes behind negative behaviors and emotional patterns that creates imbalance and disease. It's a very wonderful crystal to hold and meditate with during the dying experience. It allows the release of the temporal body with more ease, assuredness, and peace. And I wish I had done my research about amethyst when my mother was passing, because I would have been sure to have some in her hands or beside her when she was going through that process. And it's also a barrier against lower energies, psychic attack, geopathic stress, and unhealthy environments. And lastly, it helps with spiritual growth and protection by bringing clarity of mind. This is an absolutely wonderful crystal. It is a very gentle healing stone, but very powerful at the same time. So I always, always have rose quartz and amethyst on my person, beside my bed, in my purse, wherever I am. If I'm doing readings, there is always, always, always a piece of rose quartz and definitely a piece of amethyst. So that is the presentation of presentation for today on Archangel Gabriel, Ascendant Master Isis, and the beautiful crystal amethyst. So I have purchased a new deck of cards yesterday called the Blue Angel Oracles, and it's by Tony Carmine Salerno, and I have never seen such beautiful cards. I pulled three as kind of just to give you an example of how they work. So I'd like to present to you the three cards that I pulled, and it was the intention that it be for myself, not an intention for a group meaning. Now, because these cards are new to me and I have not worked with them, I am going to read to you just so you have an example of how the explanation for the cards are given in the little book. So the first card I picked is Shambhala, and it's a woman. It looks like she's sitting in a meditation pose, kind of like on a lotus, and she has her hands together in the air, and there is a heart and a tree, and it's golden age. And the meaning of this card from the book is, you're entering a period of creativity and abundance. This card signifies a golden future, which is soon to unfold. You will have many wonderful experiences accompanied by feelings of deep fulfillment and peace. This is a creative and most productive time through which you express and manifest your inner vision. Keep focused on your dreams and they will manifest. You shall feel inspired, and your positive energy will inspire others also. Express the love and creativity that is within your heart, and you will experience great joy. At times, it will seem as though heaven has truly descended upon earth. And there's a little, like a little prayer. My soul is a sacred space through which I create endless abundance. My thoughts and ideas are not restricted by time and space. That would be an affirmation. So that is the first card I picked, Shambhala. So they're absolutely beautiful cards. The next one I picked is Life Everlasting, and I have to do this quick. It's your immortal nature. So maybe I won't read the whole message. The card, to me, it's a woman, and it's a tie between the past and the present, and that I am light and love, and a luminous soul. I'm one with God and the goddess. And that this is a card to remind me of my immortal nature and that I need to be forever grateful. So that is wonderful. That's the second one. And the third one was grace and gratitude and release. It's time to let go of frustration, anger, and express the love and light that you truly are. And by doing that, I will be able to share the love and light that's in my heart with each and every one of you. And we are coming to a close of our show today. I wish to thank you all for listening, and I hope that you were able to receive the messages that you were and that the information was valid to you. All the best in love and light this week. Remember, I am God's perfect child. I am peace. I am love. I am joy. Thank you, and check me out at www.elemental-balance.ca, and have a great week. Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us this week on Elemental Balance, Soul and Spirit Guidance with your host, Phyllis Valois. We'll be back next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America 7th Wave channel. This week, may your own soul and spirit guide you.